If I were to ask you the question, who are you? How would you respond? You know, we'd probably respond first with your name. You know, I'm Nancy. And then you might add some qualifiers. You know, I'm a woman, I'm a wife. Some of you might say I'm a mother. And then you might also add in there maybe what you do. You know, I'm a minister, a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer. But who are you really? The caterpillar in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland asked Alice, who are you? Who are you? And Alice very timidly replied, she said, I hardly know, sir, just at the present. At least I know who I was when I got up this morning. But I think I must have changed several times since then. And don't we sometimes feel like Alice? You know, we're not quite sure who we are in this moment. You know, because sometimes it depends on the group of people you're with. It might depend on the circumstances that you find yourself in. You know, you could be home with your family. You could be at work with your colleagues. And the trouble is, what we show the outer world is constantly changing. Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 13, he had his disciples gathered around, and he wanted to know what the scuttlebutt was on the street about him. And so he said, you know, who do people say that I am? And he wanted to know. And so then the disciples went on a list. Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. You know, kind of pretty good indication that they believed in reincarnation at the time, right? And then Jesus stops and he goes, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter was the only disciple who stood up boldly and declared, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so how many of you could actually answer like that? If you were asked the question, who are you? Would you have the nerve to stand up and say, I am the Christ, the daughter of the living God? You know, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Could you say that? Because deep down inside of you, that's exactly who you are. You are the Christ. You are the love of God. You are the light of the world. You are God expressing itself uniquely as you. And there's a part of you that is absolutely magnificent, radiant, fabulous, beautiful, alive, incredible, gorgeous, and on and on and on. But we haven't been told that very often, have we? Have we ever been told that? Is the real question. But that is the truth of who you are. And we have within us everything we need to accomplish whatever it is that we want to do. Our Creator has given us everything. Everything. Right now and whenever to do and to be as successful as we possibly can be. We have that. That's given to us. But we're often like Moses. I just want to talk for a minute about this interesting character we have, Moses, in the Old Testament, the story of Exodus. Moses is what you call a reluctant prophet. He doesn't want to do the job that he was given. You know, sounds a lot like some of us. We've been given the job to be the Christ, but some of us are reluctant about it. We don't feel we can say that we're the Christ. So we're kind of reluctant as we move through life about our job. And so Moses, being this reluctant prophet, you know, he's leading this vagabond group of people out of the Promised Land. That's another story. But you know, you've got this group of people who they were slaves. They were in bondage. They were miserable in Egypt. But now that they're wandering in the desert, they're not quite sure where they're going. They're not crazy about Moses' leadership. And they're murmuring and they're complaining, but some of us get stuck in our misery, don't we? We'd rather be miserable because it's comfortable than moving out into something new. And so here we are, this reluctant prophet, Moses. doesn't want to do the job that he's been given. And then all of a sudden, God speaks to him as a burning bush. I don't know about you, but that would get my attention. Has God ever done that, given you something that really gets your attention? Because you're not listening otherwise. And so Moses listens to what he has. You know, God tells him what he has to do, and Moses goes, okay. You know, after trying to get his, you know, God to take his, you know, use my brother, do, you know, use it. But finally Moses says, okay. But if they start asking me questions, which you might get a question or two about, you know, what is this unity thing? When people start asking you questions, you know, me questions, who am I going to say sent me? And this burning bush, which is really the divine presence within Moses, says to Moses, tell them I am that I am has sent you. Now, in the Message Bible, which is one of my favorite versions, it says, God says to Moses, I am who I am. Tell the people of Israel, I am sent me to you. Now, in Hebrew, it doesn't really translate, I am who I am. The problem we run into here is that in English, we do not have the capacity to have the present tense and the future tense in one word, as they have in Hebrew, the ability to do that. We're a little limited in our English language. And so what this is translated, the footnote in my Bible says that this is translated as, I am what I am. And in the Bible, you'll see it's all in caps. I am what I am. And I will be what I will be. So not only am I everything you need right now, I am what I am right now, but I also will be what you need me to be in the future. Wow. What a promise. I am what I am, and I will be what I will be. And so just take a moment and close your eyes and just imagine that you are standing in front of that burning bush, that there is some kind of experience in your life that is trying to get your attention. And let's just take Moses' experience at that burning bush. You're standing in front of the burning bush, which just is a symbol of that awakening to something in your life where you can make a difference. Just stand there, look at the burning bush for a moment, and know that it's impossible to see it with your outer eye, so you need to go within and see with that inner eye, with your heart. And the bush is burning brightly. And as you stand there, listen to the still small voice. Listen to the voice of God that's directing you. What is it directing you to be? What is it directing you to do? And how is it directing you to express truth? Because the truth is that you are a radiant light. You are God's love. But do you feel reluctant, as Moses did, to move forth into the world and take that light of truth out to the world? Do you feel reluctant, as Moses did, to let that truth that you know express through you? If you do feel reluctant, know that the presence of God is there with you as it was with Moses. I am what I am, and I will be what I will be. Become aware of that presence and know that presence is with you, always lifting you, supporting you, encouraging you, protecting you. Know that presence is always with you. And let the light of God shine through you, as we sang in our opening song or in our congregational song. Just let that light shine. The Spirit of God is shining through you as it was with Moses. And that God is with you as you go forth, carrying your message of truth out into the world. That's who you are. And that's who you came here to be. And so just gently open your eyes, keeping that knowing of the truth of who you are. And that, as Jesus said, I am, as you and I each say, I am, there's a presence and a power in our lives that if we attune to it, not only will it be everything that we need right now, but it will be everything that we need anytime in the future. That's the power of the divine presence in us. And we literally step into a vibration and a frequency that all of our needs are met right now, and all of our needs are met anytime in the future. Would that work for you? Is that the kind of life that you would like to be living, where everything that you need is available to you right now in this moment, and everything you will ever need is available to you? And this works not only for our own personal individual lives, but it works for us as a spiritual community. And we just saw that happen with the Easter match. You know, we saw that. You know, I had, when I got here, I asked you to have a conversation with me about what it is you would love this place to see Unity of Bellevue become. And I heard over and over again, we want more young families, we want more kids. And, you know, we want to create an exciting, dynamic youth program so that it will attract more children and teens. And so we set the intention. Now, let's just kind of look at what happened, because it was very intentional. I don't know whether you knew it was. I knew it was very intentional. We set an intention. We did the visioning session for the Youth and Family Ministries, and all of you were invited. We then went about setting that intention of what it is that we want. We started building the field of dreams to create, to state to the universe what it is we wanted. You know, remember the movie Field of Dreams? What was that great line? If you build it, they will come. If you build it, they'll come. You got to build it. You got to state your intention. And so in order to bring forth our dream, our deepest heart's desire, we have to first know what the dream is. We got to know what it is. What is your dream? Second thing is you've got to define it. You got to get real clear. You got to third, name it. And then the fourth step is you got to claim it. So bringing forth your dream, it's the same steps each time. Know what the dream is, define it, name it, claim it. When people went to Jesus, they knew what they wanted. I want to see. I want to walk. I want to be healed. You can't claim your dream unless you can name it. Can't claim it unless you name it. And so we saw as a spiritual community how powerful it is to set an intention, to name it, and then claim what it is that we want. Together, we set the intention of a dynamic, exciting youth program that would attract children and teens. We were clear. We knew what the dream was. We defined it very clearly. We named it. And then we went about claiming it. We held the vision that we would meet and exceed the match, the Easter match of $20,000. And on Easter Sunday, you gave over $33,000. Yeah! Woohoo! We were expecting to match it. That would have been 40, but we said, and exceed. You got it. You kind of think big. Exceed it. So over $53,000 came in on Easter Sunday for our youth program. See how it works? There is infinite potential that is waiting for us to tap into. There is infinite possibilities that are waiting for us to claim. There's an infinite creative energy that is waiting for us to step into it and co-create with it. But the first thing you have to do is you have to know who you are. And the second thing is you have to know where it is you're going. What do you want and where do you want to go? Because in Proverbs it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you don't know what you want, the universe can't help you. You got to know what you want. There's got to be a vision. And in order to get what it is that we wanted, we had to go through these three steps. You have to know who you are. You've got to know where you're going. And the third thing is you've got to ask for what it is you want. We're sometimes really good at, you know, knowing what we want, naming and naming it, but we don't claim it because we don't ask. But we've got to ask the universe. We've got to imprint on the universe what it is that we want. Without a common vision, we're all going in all sorts of different directions. And you know what will happen? We'll go nowhere. We'll go absolutely nowhere, and we'll get very frustrated in the process. And if you don't ask for what you want, the universe doesn't know what you want and can't help you achieve it. And so the first question we need to ask is, who are we? Who are we as a spiritual community? Who are we? And the second question is where are we going? Where are we going? What is the heart and the purpose of Unity of Bellevue? Where are we going? Who are we? And where are we going? And we're going to be engaging in a conversation over the next several months and probably over the next year to discover this. You know, looking at a mission, vision, values, we need to get real clear. What is our mission to do, and what is our vision, and what do we value dearly? What is God calling us to be as a spiritual community? What is God calling us to do? And we're going to be discovering this together. You know, and we're going to start the end of June, June 26th. I've invited my mentor and my leadership coach, who I've been working with on and off for the last 5 years, Rob Boyle. He's down in Portland. This is the closest I've been to him. I've done most of my work via phone. But I've invited him to come up and introduce you to a process that I love and that a lot of Unity churches use. It's called Appreciative Inquiry. How many of you know Appreciative Inquiry? Okay, a handful of you. So he's going to be introducing it to us. You've had a little introduction. If you've been in one of those getting to know you circles or you came to the visioning process for the youth ministry, you got a little mini Appreciative Inquiry. But Rob Boyle is going to be coming in that last weekend of June and working with our board and staff on June 24th and 25th, and then June 26th, that Sunday, he'll be speaking at the services and doing a workshop. So put that on your calendar. It's a really great process, not only for the church community, but for your life. We can do an Appreciative Inquiry into our life, and we can also do for your business. It's not something you do, it's something you live. It's something that you be. It's how you show up. It's being appreciative in all areas of our life. So just in a nutshell, Appreciative Inquiry is an organizational development philosophy and process that was created in the 1980s by David Cooperrider. And he's affiliated with the Department of Organizational Development at Case Western Reserve University. And he was doing his doctoral thesis. At first he was going to look at, you know, why do organizations, why are they not effective? But then he started looking at organizations and why they were effective, and what he discovered was that as he looked at that, their effectiveness increased. Interesting. It's our third Unity principle. What you focus on, you get more of. Of course. So it's so in line with Unity. And Appreciative Inquiry is more than just being positive. People say, oh, it's just Pollyanna. No. It's focusing on what gives life, what is life-giving to people and to the organizations they belong to. It's a great, great philosophy, and it's so in line and in tune with Unity philosophy. And it's Roadway Trucking used this. They had truckers come in and interview and talk to each other and create this wonderful field of energy. And McDonald's, I mean, lots of big corporations, churches, our Association of Unity Churches, Unity School are all engaged and use this Appreciative Inquiry process. So I'm excited about introducing it, and that's how we will begin to discover who we are and what we have come here to be and where we're going. We'll be creating out of that a mission, vision, value statement and some two or three goals that we can achieve in the next couple of years. So it'll be an exciting process. Put on your calendar June 26th and make sure you're here. And I want to end today with this poem written by beloved Unity minister. Her name is Dorothy Pearson. Some of you may recognize that name because Dorothy and Phil Pearson founded this church in 1959. They had a study group here in Bellevue, and out of that came Unity of Bellevue. So listen to Dorothy Pearson's beautiful poem. It's called Together. Together we grow, not separate divided, alone or in isolation. We grow best when we come to know that at the core of being, we are so much more. We are one with every living soul, every atom, every cell, every living, moving thing, all a part of us and we of them. For we are born and grow in the wholeness that we come to know as love. And in that love, God holds us all together. God bless you.